Welcome again to our continued study in the series of the Kings of Judah and Israel. We are at the moment going to study the Kings of Judah. We've already looked at the first three, Rehoboam, Bijam, and Asa. But now we're coming to a group of four kings that we are going to put under the heading of the time of wrong alliances. The time of wrong alliances. And we're going to look, first of all, at the fourth king of Judah, whose name is Jehoshaphat. And he was indeed a righteous man, and we're told he came to the throne at the age of 35, and he reigned for 25 years. Now, this is what is said concerning Jehoshaphat, a remarkable man, a very wonderful person. And we're told that he walked in the first ways of his father David. He walked, in other words, in the commandments of God. But not only that, he was concerned not only for his personal life, but he was like a father to the kingdom. And he was concerned for the spiritual state of the people that he ruled over. And so he raised up teachers of righteousness and sent them throughout the land, that indeed the whole nation would turn to God and walk in the ways of the Lord. And that, after all, is a picture of a true leader. You know, a leader not only must, if I could say this, have a peerless character and walk in righteousness and holiness. But you see, the purpose of a leader is to lead. And it is that people follow. Well, there are all kinds of leaders, aren't there? You know, there are wicked leaders, so-so leaders and so forth. But here we have a man who was a leader of righteousness. And because of his peerless character, and because of his determination, he led the people in the pathways of righteousness. And so, of course, you see, when people work uprightly, do those things that are right, then God's blessing comes upon them. And Jehoshaphat became a very rich man, exceedingly rich. But this prosperity did not turn his head, but he continued to walk in humility before God. What, however, was the problem in his life? And we have said that this section in the Kings of Judah revolves around the thought of wrong alliances. Wrong alliances. Now, Jehoshaphat, the righteous king in the kingdom of Judah. But to the north, there was another man who ruled over the 10 tribes of Israel. And his name was Ahab. And he made an error of judgment when young, and he went and married a heathen girl whose name was Jezebel. And she was the daughter of the king of Sidon, and she was inured in the practices of the heathen, idolatry, fornication, and every kind of wickedness and evil doing. Now, Ahab and Jezebel formed a team that corrupted Israel in a very awesome way. And during this period, God raised up a mighty prophet by the name of Elijah. And Elijah ministered to the northern tribes. And it was Elijah who said there should be no rain for 3.5 years. And there was no rain. And then after 3.5 years, he said, rain will come. And Ahab saw all the miracles that God did through Elijah. Yet his heart did not turn to walk in the ways of righteousness. Well, Ahab then looks at the kingdom of Judah, a kingdom that is being prospered by God through the righteousness of their king, Jehoshaphat. And so Ahab invites Jehoshaphat to come down to his kingdom, and Jehoshaphat agrees. And then Ahab speaks of the fact that he wants to go and fight against the heathen, and he wants to take Ramoth Gilead, which had been a town that was really belonging to Israel, and being captured by the enemy. Now, he says to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me? And Jehoshaphat makes this outstanding statement, and he says, you know, we are bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. Well, one moment. Here is a righteous man saying to one of the most wicked people that ever lived, you know, we're like you. And he made an affinity with them. And then he says, well, have we not prophets that can tell us whether or not we shall indeed be successful in this battle? And Ahab said, oh yes, I have 400 prophets of Baal. And he brings these 400 prophets before the two kings, and they all prophesy, go up against Ramoth Gilead, and you will be successful. But you see, there's a difference between these two kings. You see, Jehoshaphat's a righteous man. Ahab's a wicked person. And the wicked listen to the wicked. But here is the righteous king, and he's saying, this is not the voice of God. He said to Ahab, have we not got a prophet of God? And Ahab gets very grumpy at this point and says, well, he said, we've got one, but he never says good of me. Oh, Jehoshaphat said, let it not be so. Who is he? Well, Micaiah. Well, where is he? He's in prison. That's generally where the righteous prophets are. So Ahab gives a commandment, bring him out. Now, Ahab now is a bit concerned because he has a feeling that Micaiah will not say the same as the others. But Micaiah does. He says, yes, go up and be successful. Now, Ahab is worried, and he realizes that Micaiah is not telling the truth. And he said, haven't I always told you to tell me the truth? He said, what is the truth? And Micaiah says, look, I had a vision of heaven. And I saw the Lord, and there were around him many people. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab to go up to Ramoth Gilead that I might kill him? And one said this, another said that, but another said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of those 400 prophets. The Lord said, go and you will prosper. Well, now the two kings have heard the word of the Lord. And what should they have done? Well, they should not have gone up to Ramoth Gilead. Here was a prophet of God saying, oh no, Ahab's going to be killed if he goes up there. You know, because God had said the counsel of the wicked would prevail, Ahab said, well, we'll go up. And he said to Jehoshaphat, you put on your royal garments, and I will dress as an ordinary soldier, and we'll go up. Jehoshaphat said, fine. He went up, his royal robes, and the heathen kings had said, fight only against Ahab. Well, when the soldiers came against Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat was crying out to God for help. And he said, this is not Ahab. So they left him. And someone, Ahazard, just fired an arrow. And that arrow was the arrow of God. It hit Ahab, and Ahab died. Well, Jehoshaphat comes back to his country, and a prophet comes out to him. And the prophet says this, why have you helped the wicked? And this is something we've got to understand. Wrong alliances are against God and bring much displeasure to God if we make alliances with the wicked. Well, the result was, you see, he was rebuked by the prophet. But then the sons of Ahab, you see, the sons of Ahab, Ahaziah says to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me and make a navy and we'll go down, you know, to Africa and get, you know, spoils from there. And Jehoshaphat said, yes, my bones are the same as your bones, my flesh is your flesh. And God destroyed that navy. And God again rebuked Jehoshaphat. And now, the other son who replaced Ahaziah, Jehoram, well, he says to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me? Go into the wilderness and fight against Moab. And again, Jehoshaphat says, well, we're of the same flesh, we're the same bone. And you see, the thing is this, Jehoshaphat, although rebuked, a righteous man, had this terrible flaw. He made an alliance with the wicked, and it cost him everything. Well, they went down into the wilderness, and it looked as though they were going to lose everything, and the king of Edom and the king of Israel were saying, oh, we're going to die in the wilderness. And King Jehoshaphat said, is there a man of God here? And they said, well, Elisha. And he said, good. He poured water on the hands of Elijah. Let's go to him. Well, they went down to his house. And Elisha said, I wouldn't look upon the king of Edom. I wouldn't look upon the king of Israel. And he said, the only reason I'm going to bring the word of the Lord to you is because of the righteous king Jehoshaphat. And he gave the order, dig the ditches, and God will fill those ditches with water. And not only that, you will have victory over Moab. Well, you see, because of his righteousness, God preserved him. But the cost was awesome. And what happened was this. The heir to the throne, Jehoram, you see, married the daughter of Ahab. And so we come to the next king, Jehoram. And he was 32 years of age, and he reigned 8 years. But you see, because of the alliance that Jehoshaphat had made with Ahab, his son took the daughter, Athaliah, took the daughter of Ahab. And the result is that Jehoram left the pathway of righteousness that his father had so wonderfully walked in. And now he's walking in the ways of the king of Israel. And we're told that he actually forced Judah to commit fornication, to bring in idols. Well, what was the end of Jehoram? And it's an awesome verse that we now read. That in 2 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 29, it says, on his death he departed without being desired. Departed without being desired. You know, so often when people die, you know, there's lamentations, and one speaks of all the good things that people have done, if they have done them, of course. But, you know, Judah would make burnings for their kings, They would make great funeral pyres. They would lament, but not over Jehoram. Jehoram departed without being desired. Wouldn't that be an awful thing? That if you died, people would say, well, good riddance. Their life meant nothing. Wouldn't that be awful? You know, sometimes when we die, one of the judgments is that we attend our own funeral. And we listen to what people say. You know, and I think of a funeral in another country of a wife that lasted 4 hours. And the essential message of that funeral was that that wife had not been a good wife. And because of it, she had turned her husband away from his missionary call. 4 hours. Sons, the husband, friends, all said the same thing. That her life had influenced her husband so that he turned away from the call of God upon his life. You know, departed without being desired. Oh, how sad. Well, now, the next king was Ahaziah. And you see, he is influenced. He's only 22 years of age. But his influence now by his mother, who is the daughter of Ahab. She'd already influenced her husband to corrupt the whole of the land of Judah. All that righteousness that Jehoshaphat had instilled in the hearts of his people were now being destroyed by this Athaliah. And the people were going into sin, being caused to go into sin by King Jehoram. Well, he departed without being desired. And the next one on the throne is Ahaziah. And he only reigned 1 year because of the anger of God against this young man. And we're told he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and that he walked in the way of the house of Ahab. In other words, here he was the son of the king of Judah and also of the wicked queen Athaliah. And it goes on to say, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And here is the reason, because his mother was his counselor to do evil. What a terrible and awesome comment upon a life. He had come under the control of his wicked mother, and therefore he did evil. And what happened to him? Well, Ahaziah went down to meet his cousin, the king of Israel, who had been wounded in battle. And God, in the meantime, had caused Elisha, the prophet, to send one of his young men to anoint a captain of Israel, Jehu. And he anointed Jehu and said, God has anointed you to be king of Israel. And then Jehu was given a charge from God. And the charge was that he was to eliminate all the seed of Ahab. Well, as soon as he's anointed, he says to the other captains of Israel's army, are you with me or not? And they said, oh, we're with you, if you're the anointed king. So he comes, and we're told that he drove furiously. And here is king of Israel and the king of Judah, and they're together, and they see this army coming furiously towards them. They send out a messenger, and they said, are you coming in peace or not? And Jehu said, what peace is there to the house of Ahab? They realize that all is lost, and they try and escape. Well, both kings are killed. And concerning Ahaziah, there is a verse which says this, that it was of God to bring Ahaziah at that moment down to the kingdom of Israel to be with his cousin, that he might be killed by Jehu. Oh, God controls everything. And because of the wickedness of this young man, you know, here he is, comes to the throne at the age of 22. At 23, God sees that he's such an abomination in his sight that God causes him to come down to the very place where God has ordained that Jehu will slay him. Oh, it's an awesome thing, you know. You know, God controls the righteous and the wicked. And we want to be very sure that our lives are upright, then we shall receive the blessing and the protection of God. But if we do not walk uprightly, look, 22 years of age. Oh, God had already determined that his life expectancy was just 23 because of his wickedness. He came under the control of his mother, who was a very wicked woman. And so God caused Ahaziah to come to that place of slaughter. Yes, it's an awesome thing when we think of this kingdom of Jehoshaphat that could have enjoyed prosperity to untold generations had Jehoshaphat not made wrong alliances. Well, we continue. We continue for one more monarch. And now it's the monarchy of a woman, Athaliah. Athaliah, as we have already said, was indeed the daughter of Ahab and married Jehoram and ruined the kingdom of Judah. And then when Jehoram died of an awful disease through the judgment of God, then Athaliah became the counselor of her son, Ahaziah, and led him into evil. Well, how did Athaliah start her reign? Well, she sought to kill every one of the royal seed, and so that she could be firmly ensconced as the queen of Judah. Well, she succeeded, but for one little baby. That little baby we will consider in our next session. That little baby was Joash, and he was preserved. But Athaliah reigned for 6 years. 6 years over Judah. And you know, during that 6 years, she ensured that everything that Jehoshaphat had done would be undone. Every righteous act, all the temple's worship would be utterly, shall I say, destroyed. And she filled the temple of God with idols, and idolatry became the, shall I say, foremost religion of Judah. And God was worshipped only by a godly remnant. You see, what I want to close this session with is this. The theme is wrong alliances. And you see, you can be a very righteous person, but if you walk and make alliances with those who are evil, you will corrupt your own inheritance. You know, one of the blessings of God is to leave a godly inheritance, a godly influence in your family, in your church, or in your fellowship, in the nation. But if you make a wrong alliance, it doesn't matter how righteous you are, but that wrong alliance will corrupt. You know, one of the favorite scriptures of my wife was, evil companionship corrupts good manners. And I tell you this, if you walk with those that are evil, you will absolutely corrupt your own inheritance. And may God grant that we have learnt the lessons here. You know, from a righteous man and God prospering the kingdom because he sent out teachers of righteousness that he might lead the country into the ways of God, he destroyed everything by that flaw. And you see, his companionship with Ahab caused his son to make a wrong choice for his wife, and that Athaliah corrupted the whole of the kingdom of Judah, so that all that was left was just a godly remnant. May God grant that we will learn the lesson from the life of Jehoshaphat, and that we will not only seek to be godly, but we will walk with those who are godly too. And in so doing, we will ensure the continuance of our inheritance. God bless you.